From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. This is Locked On Chiefs. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. I'm Ryan Tracy, your host from RGR Football, as well as the founder of Rogue Analytics.
And I'm Chris Clark from Chiefs Digest. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we're getting close to where we can actually start talking about real football.
Very close. And we're going to talk about some of that today. Coming up, we will have some on the Hill Hardman Challenge is what I'm going to call it right now. And we're going to go over the defensive line group and what we might be seeing here very, very soon. Today, we need to get started. There's a couple of little things going on as the team practiced through the weekend and got a start. We're going to start to see some of the veterans in this upcoming week, but a lot of hubbub about what's to be expected. Louis Riddick of ESPN actually had a couple of comments, one about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and about how he is in such a good position with this group and Andy and Patrick, obviously, that he thinks he's RB1 in terms of your fantasy drafts, folks.
Yeah, and that's huge. Taking him over Christian McCaffrey would be a huge thing. So a lot of people are going to be looking at that. And with no preseason games, it's going to be very hard to make any kind of judgments. I can't imagine Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to go number one overall in a lot of fantasy drafts, but I do think that he's going to go very high, and I think he should go very, very high. It sounds like he is taking as much opportunity of the chances he's been given by Coach Reed and by the coaching staff. And so I think he's going to take full advantage of this time that he's getting that he wasn't supposed to get.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. Make the most of it. You know, I am down to this strange season. I'm playing one fantasy league this year. The big time league that I've been in for, pushing 20 years now. And we score a little bit differently in there. We try to reflect the game a little bit. So the quarterbacks are still the prized possessions because they put up the most points per week. So he's not going to be there for me, but I have to admit, it's also a 7-year keeper league. So it's going to be something that rookies are always in high demand because you want to get new blood. You want to have a new option. He's going to be at the top of the list for me.
And really, as he should be, he's going to be a player that I think is going to be very successful in Kansas City. And with Patrick Mahomes next to him, I think that he's going to take off and have a great year, especially when you're talking about a keeper league type situation. That would be a fantastic get early on.
Yeah, it's something that you can rely on year after year, especially as I think his market share will grow as time goes by. And one guy who's looking for a little bit more market share spoke over the weekend, and I found a couple of little takeaways interesting from Sammy Watkins. One, that he was glad to take an incentive-based contract and reduce his number so that he could stay with the team. And he said specifically, hey, I've made enough money. I want to be here. And I think that says a lot as to what the experience of going to that Super Bowl really means for the players. But it also means that they're willing and they really think they have a shot to take it back and do it again.
Yeah, and he definitely wants to run it back. And, you know, he did talk about wanting to catch more balls. But, you know, to be fair, and Reed said this himself, I believe, that, you know, if you're a wide receiver, you should want the ball more. I mean, that's just the reality of playing in the NFL. If you are a playmaker, you want the ball in your hands. So good to see him talking and trying to get ahead of that, you know, because there was a lot of questions when they were getting ready to go into the Super Bowl and he was talking about playing and how he was going to deal with things.
And there's a lot to that. One other update that is really important that Andy Reid had some comment on Juan Thornhill, that he is coming along and that he isn't ready to go yet. And that's obvious, not to quote coach, but pretty close to that. And that's what we've been expecting pretty much all offseason, that he would get here, he would start to work in. But the fact that he's progressing while he's not out there or not going to be out there this week with the rest of the roster, I think that still bodes well about getting him back early in the season.
Yeah, I think he'll be back early in the season, but the question is who's going to take his replace in the meantime and how are they going to adjust the defense to play without him. But I think he is going to be a good player this year. I'm hoping that he's able to get back to his normal health. But the reality is when it comes to an ACL, generally most players, they make him back quick, but I don't expect that we're going to see necessarily the same one Thornhill we saw at times last year. I think he's going to take some time to get into form. And maybe not even in 2020. Maybe it's something where he's not fully back until 2021. And I'm not trying to count him out. I'm just trying to be real about him coming back from that type of injury.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it. We've heard from players before that they really didn't feel 100% recovered until like the second season after the injury. And that makes sense to me. So we'll see how he comes back and how he looks. Coming up, we need to get into what's going on with the wide receivers, how they're going to be used as they start to hit the field for real practices. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on important things like mortgage and food and daily occurrences like that. There's a lot that goes into your life, and why would you want to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more on the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new dealership when you can go to rockauto.com?
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. I can attest to this. I really did like the Rock Auto site when I was looking for something for my car a couple of weeks ago. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much as for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
And the practices are what's going to be very interesting this week. Andy Reid also spoke about the fact that they're going to try to put every situation they can think of. They're actually going to hit in practice this week, some padded practices. And it's going to be even more important for those this year because they don't have preseason games. I think that it's going to be interesting. Two guys you can't allow to get banged up, even though you want to get some real world situations in, are Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, absolutely. And they definitely are having fun on their own. And they actually did a little bit of a race between the two of them at both 40 and 60 yards. And it looks like Tyreek Hill won both.
My favorite part about that, not only seeing it in the fact that they kind of played it up till they could actually release it on somebody's, I think it was Tyreek's Instagram. The fact that Patrick was like, okay, don't do that anymore. I need you running on the field when we need you, not screwing around in practice. So I thought that was kind of funny. Like it's intriguing to me that Patrick Mahomes at 25 years old is the guy kind of pulling the reins and slowing everybody down and playing the old man. Like it reminds me of me.
That's kind of scary.
I know, right?
No, but it's good because you have a guy that obviously is so far advanced at his age to be able to know those kinds of things. And Hardman did talk about after the race, you know, almost pulling a hamstring or feeling like he was going to pull a hamstring. So that's why Mahomes said something, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly went through my head. Like it's all well and good to go have some fun and play around with it, but don't, of course, in a year where I think soft tissue injuries are going to be more prominent than ever, like don't take a chance on that. And I'm glad you had fun and you can actually rib each other. If you guys don't remember, I think Chris and I saw some guys racing in the parking lot at St. Joe last year when we were there. So like, I think it's a mild improvement over that, but it's still a risk.
Yeah, it's definitely a risk, but you know, you look at them and those two, you know, to be fair about it, those two are going to be guys that are going to be out there running in general anyway. So as long as they're not pushing it, I guess, overboard, but I guess in a race, you're going to push it as much as you possibly can because you want to win. But honestly, you watch the race, and if you go watch the video of it, Tyreek Hill, I think, still had speed to burn on that. I think he had Hardman by quite a bit.
Yeah, I was happy to see in the one that I saw, which I think was the 40, that they both weren't like pumping through the end. They both kind of cruised there the last 5 yards, whatever it looked like to me, which hopefully that is a sign that they're taking it easy on their hamstrings. The last thing you want is a hamstring injury that starts early in the season because it's so difficult to recover from that. When you're trying to get all this work in, trying to get the install in and know where you're going week one, that's going to be a big enough challenge as it is.
It's definitely going to be a big challenge. It's something that they've got to get figured out. And obviously that's one thing that they've got to worry about. And, you know, we talked about Sammy Watkins a little bit in the news, but, you know, you look at what that situation is going to bring. You have a three-headed monster, a wide receiver, and that doesn't even bring into account a guy like Travis Kelce. So, you know, how are you going to spread the ball around between those four is really going to be a key into how this season is going to go. And another guy we mentioned in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think he's going to get the ball out of the backfield as well. So you have a lot of people that are going to be needing to be fed in this offense.
Yeah, and that trio of wide receivers is going to be up top. And what we heard from Sammy, I think, is a nice thing. But we're also focused on Mecole Hardman talking about it being a different season for him. And a couple of weeks ago, I pointed out that I really feel like he's the guy that is in the best position to take advantage of what they have to do in terms of getting everybody covered. Yes, they're going to focus on Tyreek. They're going to focus on Travis. But that and what Sammy did late in the year last year, I think that really opens the door for Mecole to make an impact, maybe, where last year I thought it was big plays of opportunity. Now I feel like maybe he can press the topic and make things happen.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think that that's going to work to Kansas City's advantage. And, you know, it's going to be something to watch the entire season. And what I really am looking forward to the most is seeing how much Hardman progressed during the offseason, because he obviously has been working. And I think his teammates are already saying they see it in practice.
Yeah, and you have to see it in practice. That's where it should show up. And I'm really eager this week to see everybody get out on the field. We heard from some of the rookies about how they're getting started. I think Willie Gay had some comments about just getting into the process of getting out to practice. And it was just rookies last week and a couple of newcomers, I think. Legere Sneed spoke over the weekend as well about how much guidance he's getting from the vets about how to become a pro. And that's something that right now this rookie class hasn't had until this week, where you're able to actually go out with the veterans and understand how things are going to work. It's still a lot of newness for this rookie class, and even maybe some of the sophomores who weren't on the field very much last year.
No, it's definitely a lot of newness, and it's definitely something that they're going to have to take advantage of as much time as they can possibly get with the vets that know what they're doing, and really getting into the you know, scheme and the knowledge of how this offense and how this defense are going to run. So I do think that that's going to be a big benefit. The question that we're going to have is, how much is it going to be a detriment not to be able to have a normal type of offseason for some of these guys? And how is it going to affect things with not having any kind of preseason games? Because I guarantee you right now, it doesn't matter how hard they do go in practice, there is going to be some sloppy play in the first couple of weeks of the NFL season.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I think the Chiefs might be one of the cleaner teams just because they have so many guys that are going to be out there that have been out there before. Yes, there'll be rust to knock off for the vast majority of them, but it's not going to be, you know, other than Clyde, you're going to see guys that fill into the offensive line spots that we talked about last week that have experience. You're going to see, obviously, all the wide receivers, and Travis Kelce have plenty of experience. The adjustment, I think, is going to come from Ricky Seals-Jones coming into a new offense. I think that there might be a possibility that they go even more 12 personnel this year, where Ricky's going to be on the field with Travis a lot. So I want to see his progression stand out. And then obviously with Mecole, that's really the difference in where he's going to get opportunities, how much work he's done.
Well, I can understand why you would think that they would go with 12 personnel more, but I have a hard time seeing it with the three pass catchers that they have. It's just going to be very hard to go away from that three wide receiver set, especially if Mecole Hardman has been able to make any kind of strides in his game, which I'm sure he has in the offseason.
Yeah, and I think the thing about that is that you're going to see defenses shift back. I think you're going to see some two high safety cover four type stuff that's going to take some of that away, and you're going to have to shift somewhat. And we saw 12 personnel make a little bit of a comeback last year, but I think the real difference maker is going to be either lining up a couple of backs or just Clyde in the backfield and being able to motion him out. I started my latest film review looking at what they did against Clemson in the championship game. And just seeing that they started the game off with him split out. And I don't mean like in the slot. I mean all the way at the top of the formation. I think Clyde in particular gives you an option as a pass catching back that is a lot more versatile than we've seen in the past.
Absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to be able to do with Clyde in this offense. And, you know, you still have other guys on the offense that they're going to be getting the ball to. I think Darrell Williams will see the ball. I'm not going to say a ton, but I think he's going to see the ball throughout the season. You would think that they're going to have Anthony Sherman involved at some point. I don't think they're bringing him back just for special teams and leadership. So we'll have to see how that all shakes out on offense. But then you still have those other wide receivers that, you know, we kind of talked about a little bit last week. How are they going to figure into this? Obviously, they can come in and spell wide receivers from time to time, But you would think that they're going to want to see some of those guys on the field, especially a guy like DeMarcus Robinson, who's trying to play himself for a new contract.
Yeah, that's it. And that's going to be key. There's a lot of get up and go in what needs to happen for a lot of these guys coming into this season. That's not to disclude the defense either. So coming up next, we're going to get into the defensive line, take a look at what that rotation might look like, and who has the chance to step forward. Now, I talked a little bit over the weekend, a couple of tweets here and there, about what Frank Clark had said last week, that he's finally healthy and that's good to go, and that he and Chris Jones want to be the best duo to ever play. Good luck to you, because I think Richard Dent and Dan Hampton are going to have something to say about that, but that's okay. Derek and Neil might have something to say about that, to tell you the truth. So there's a great process in having a duo out front, but that's not the end all be all. And I think really what I'm looking for the Chiefs to do is come to some kind of realization about how they're going to rotate, specifically at end. We'll get to the DTs, but how do you feel about where they are, what we might see?
Well, the big question is what's going to happen with, you know, we know Frank Clark's going to be a starter. Who's going to be the other starter? You would think that it's going to be Alex Okafor. But with his injury late in the year, he stepped away, and obviously we expect that he's going to be back and he's going to be fully healthy. But, you know, he's got competition next to him, and I'm not going to say that I believe Tano Passanio is going to take his place, but there is a little bit of a question mark in my mind, at least, if Okafor is going to be that guy or not.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I lean towards him being the guy who plays first down. I think everything after that is kind of up for grabs. At the end of the day, if everybody can make progress like I think that they're capable of, I do expect Taco Charlton to play a role here on third down, rushing the passer from the outside opposite Frank. And then everything in between that, I think, is up for grabs, because we've seen Tano go in there. We know that Mike Dana played there in college. I'm really interested to see, because of just how excited Coach Daly was to get Mike Dana in the fold. Like, I'm trying not to let my expectations for him in particular rise too much, but there's a number of guys that can go inside and play that secondary rusher from, like, heads up on the tackle in a little bit and give a little bit more room to somebody on the outside like Taco.
Yeah, and Taco Charlton's going to be a dark horse for me, because I'm not exactly sure what to expect. I was really looking forward to being able to see him in training camp this year. Obviously, we know that's not happening, but I will be interested to see how they use him and they really try to go about figuring out that rotation. They have a lot of bodies, and that's something they're going to have to figure out early on.
Yeah, and I look at this one, and I think that they have to keep – I mean, there's not a ton on the inside. You're going to have your starters in Nnadi and Jones, and that makes perfect sense. The guy that I think out of the sophomore class that has the biggest opportunity to take a step forward and actually – make improvements is Colin Saunders. Part of that is because we saw Mecole Hardman play a role. Amwan Thornhill obviously play a big role in the defense last year. So they're kind of established. But Colin Saunders, I thought, made adaptation early in the season, got his anchor down, was improving against the run through the season. Now it's about, can he be explosive? Can he be that penetrative pass rusher that can complement Chris Jones inside?
It's a big question. And, you know, you have Colin Saunders, you have Mike Pinnell, I think, is going to be on this roster. So that gets you to four. What are you going to do with Breland Speaks? I mean, you've got depth there, and Speaks is going into his junior year after not playing at all last year. So big questions on that and how that's going to shake out. And I mean, Speaks really could be a guy that affects both defensive end and defensive tackle, just because of the way he plays. And they could be wanting to try to use him outside in specific situations.
And that's how I feel about it too. And honestly, I think it may come down to the fact that, like, there are very few guys that are going to have a set role. I mean, Chris Jones looks even trimmer to me than he did last year when he played a good amount of snaps at defensive end. You could see him be the guy way out wide on the other end and just pack in the A gaps with three, you know, obviously not as dynamic pass rushers, but there's a lot of things that they can do, and they don't necessarily have to stick to those traditional end versus tackle roles.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of flexibility in the different guys that they have on this team. So, I don't know how many they're going to end up keeping, but I think this kind of goes back to the same type of thing that we kind of talked about on the offensive line. Honestly, with COVID and with the way that the game is played, it wouldn't shock me to see the team have to go with 10 defensive linemen, even though they haven't done that in the past.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a significant way that they have to go. I wouldn't necessarily like to see that because I'm a little concerned about that, to tell you the truth. That's a lot to keep on your D-line. But like you said, everybody might have to play different roles. And when it comes down to it, the more options you have, I think the better for Coach Daly and for Coach Spagnuolo as they try to adapt.
For me, it's not necessarily about all the different roles. It's more about the reality of those guys are going to be the ones that are going to be in close contact the most. And how are you going to be able to keep those guys fresh and be able to keep a deep enough roster at that position? Because some of those guys, even if you release them, they're not going to be able to stick around. You can't get them on the practice squad. And so I think that could be a big problem for Kansas City trying to figure out. And honestly, all teams are going to have to figure that out this year. How are you going to have those lines set up? Because those are the guys that are going to be in close quarters with everybody at all times.
Yeah. And there's plenty to choose from too. Like, that's the big thing I think is going to be tough about this. Obviously we talked about Frank and Taco, Okafor, Tano, Mike Dana, that one of the new ones. Breland's still listed as a defensive end. Breland speaks. Then there's Tim Ward that we haven't seen much from. And I keep forgetting about Damon Harris, who actually put in some speed rush snaps last year. And I thought, you know, made a decent impression. And that's just the ends. Like, I don't know who I would pick out of there to not be a backup.
Yeah, no, I understand. And it's a great problem for them to have, but they've got to figure it out. And they've got to figure out how many are we going to keep on the interior? How many are we going to keep on the exterior? Because, you know, like you said, they could play Chris Jones at some DE snaps at some point this season. And that's certainly a possibility. But if you do that, are you going to go with less defensive ends and keep more defensive tackles? Or are you going to go vice versa? To me, if you're going to play Jones on the outside at, you know, maybe 10 or 15% of the snaps, then maybe you decide you go more with DTs and keep more defensive tackles that can get after the passer on the inside.
Well, and that was a thought I had as well. I know a lot of folks are turned up about Deshaun Wharton, and I don't know what's going to happen with him. They list him a DT. I don't think that he truly is. I'm not sure what they're going to do there. But when you look at pass rush specific, obviously Chris Jones, Derek Nottie, Mike Pennell, Colin Saunders, top four. Beyond that, it's Braxton Hoyt, Devrell Lawrence, and then Wharton. And I just don't know if any of those guys give you enough pass rush to keep. I need to see, and obviously we won't until we hear things from them before I start to think that they're going to keep any of them. I really think it could be a four-man DT group and then just keep more ends.
Oh, it definitely could be. I mean, it just really depends on what they plan on doing this season. And also it also depends on who they think they can get to the practice squad. Because if they think they can get one of their top 10 guys to the practice squad, then maybe that shifts how they decide they're going to keep guys. And, you know, they're going to have 16 practice squad players this year, which is more than they normally get. So it's possible that it changes the amount of people that they keep at that position.
Yeah, and I think it may have to. Finding that combination is going to be tricky, and that's what it's all going to come down to. So I'm looking forward to seeing something, and maybe we'll find out on Monday, folks, as they start to practice. We'll have updates for you all week long. If you're new to the show, remember, we do this every day. We are 5 days a week. We'll give you our insight as things happen, and we appreciate you coming on board. For all of you that are new, please leave us an iTunes review. We always appreciate those. The 5 stars help us out as much as anybody else, help us get found, and we appreciate that too. We will have more for you tomorrow. Thank you for listening to us today. We'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.